97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And beware. Beware, beware. I feel incredibly well-rested after a weekend in Tampa. Because the Flyers didn't keep me up last night. That big red button that says turn off the television finally came. I put Coatsy and Saunders on the app, and I nodded off. Nodded off to Z-Land, and I got 7 hours and 38 minutes of beautiful sleep last night.
Yeah, they're not very good.
No, and
they're
Saunders,
not very fun
Saunders
to watch.
And
the Flyers, I mean.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that's very...
Yeah, the team
they're bad.
Is pretty bad.
And that was after sitting with my buddy Joe on a lazy Monday afternoon and watching the Sixers play the Washington Wizards, which was another...
They weren't good either.
That's like two hours and 20 minutes I can't get back.
I walked right into that trap. I should have. It opened at 4.5, and by game time, it was down to 1.5. And I went... This is shady. I'm going to take it anyway, but this is shady. Sure enough.
It was shady.
It was shady.
I took it at 3. Idiot. So we get started today. Hopefully you're going to have a great day with us. Bradford White Water Heaters are here for the pro. You know that. You need a nice hot shower this morning. We are about to head into, I don't want to misquote Karen Rogers, but I think we're going to head into like the coldest temps consecutive nights that Philly has had in a long time coming up starting on Thursday night. I think we go 5 nights consecutive minimum where the temperature is going to be in the teens.
Well, it's a good thing we sleep inside then.
It is. And it's going to kill the mosquito population. I saw that yesterday.
That's great news.
It's going to really help kill the mosquito population. Unless you have one of those mosquito fogging companies.
Yeah, I got it sprayed last year. It didn't last the whole summer, but they're effective.
They did a good job. The coach tells us that, do you know that the punctuation mark is called an interrobang? That's what coach wants us to know this morning. It sounds like a bad pornography.
I was going to say,
overseas.
It's like, that's verbal horniness.
Interrobang.
No. Read it again, John. The punctuation mark, question mark, exclamation point, together.
Oh, well, I didn't realize that. I thought you were just telling me that punctuation marks.
No, the punctuation mark. I've seen people use this before.
I use it. I did not know
question
that.
Mark with an exclamation point?
Yeah. That's called the interrobang.
It does. It sounds like some bad thing you
Coach
get on Cinemax.
No stuff.
If that isn't a title on Cinemax... that helped the Braves win their World Series? I don't know.
So is this something you came up with, you found out a long time ago, or you just like looked this up recently?
Jamie mentioned it, and he uses it quite often. And
the interrobang.
I get offended by it sometimes. Are
you get offended by
question?
The interrobang?
Yeah, are you asking me a question? Or are you
emphatically asking you a question is what it means. Yes.
Yeah.
So give me an example from a Jamie email or a text that would be. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
it may
good.
Not be.
That's good interrobang usage.
Yeah. Now it's good, Jamie. For other, I've learned to read Jamie in a year. See that in the second year. Now I feel like I'm like a bit of a Jamie whisperer. Bob is the Jamie whisperer. Bob understands. Bob speaks Jamie better than anybody.
Well, it's not that hard of a read. I was going to say I'm not that deep.
Pat, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm great. I'm really good.
How was that Flyers game last night?
It was
painful.
Here's the only highlight, John, that you need to hear from last night's game.
First 10,000 fans got a Flyers beer stand tomorrow. Tomorrow. I'm going to get there early, by the way, for that.
Good.
Well, I don't want the 10,000 beating me to it. When the Flyers take on the Islanders, tickets are on sale now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. I'm not going to be a pig and take more than one. I just want to have one.
That's awesome.
That's the only highlight that was worth pulling from the entire game.
Steve Coates is one of the most underrated treasures of this market. And there's no question. And I still want Coatsy in here for like kegs and eggs. We'll call kegs and eggs and have Coatsy in.
I'll
that'll
jump in
awesome.
On that. Awesome.
Oh, that'll be great. I was asked to give it a full season. It's now complete. I don't know how many times, Jamie, I heard on the Wake and Bake postgame edition with you and Chunas. How many times people would call up to defend Jalen Hurts and say, he's only had 15 starts. He's only had 14 starts. They knew exact game numbers. Well, now we're at 22. There's no reason for me to think that Howie Roseman isn't at least considering moving on from Jalen Hurts. And considering some of the buzz yesterday from NFL insiders, columnists, and more, I believe there is buzz out there. Remember the word I've chosen. The word I'm using is considering. Knowing the history of Howie Roseman, he always has a wandering eye. Bad attribute if you're a husband. Excellent attribute if you're a general manager. I'm completely convinced that Howie would look at this season as more of a reason to search out an alternative than more of a reason to stay the course. That's my conclusion. I'm sure he's going to have a plan B, but to me, I bet plan A is to find out if a veteran or a draftee is the better alternative. I'm guessing that after 22 full starts, Howie Roseman says, I can do better. So I'm asking you, in this order, what is Howie Roseman going to do? I'll give you mine. I believe his first option in his thought process, if I could sneak onto the notes on his desk, I believe Howie Roseman on his desk would say draft first, veteran acquisition second, Hurts third. What about you? Am I off base? You can join us at 610-632-0975. You can share your thoughts on our Twitter account if you wish to get a thought in there. But with Bob and Jamie and Pat and Connor and Mike and the coach, Eric Camille, it's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I'm telling you, I can visualize Howie having, first of all, I believe Howie has legal pads. I love legal pads. I think Howie has legal pads.
Sticky notes.
Take responsibility for all
I don't know about that.
No, no sticky notes.
But I believe he scribbles. I think he's a note taker like I am. Now, I keep most of my notes on my iPad. I believe his first target right now is saying, what could I find in the draft? Then a veteran acquisition. Then Jalen Hurts being my third option. I really believe that. I'm convinced, Bob. What about you? What order do you think Howie is looking at it after seeing 22 starts of Jalen Hurts?
I think I would go, I would switch one and two with you. I think I would go free agency, draft, Jalen Hurts.
Or acquisition. You're saying veteran acquisition.
Yeah.
So it could be free agency, it could be whatever.
Yeah, the more I looked at it yesterday and watching the game again yesterday, I called it a microcosm. One game shouldn't encapsulate every thought that you have about a Jalen Hurts after 22 starts. But it was more than that. It was a defensive coordinator coming up with a scheme to just absolutely shine on the weaknesses that Jalen Hurts possesses. And it was really, really easy. Jamie, I think you said it yesterday. Todd Bowles had an easy day. It really was. They boxed him, and that was it. They made him throw it to the left. He can't do it. He can't throw the ball to the left. And I have some numbers here later on that somebody, I think Jeff McClain may have had, or Marcus Hayes, whatever. But it was just so defining about how easy it was in a big game, a playoff game, a big game, to take Jalen Hurts away and make him just a bad, bad quarterback for the Eagles on Sunday. And it's not one game. It's the overall picture of what he can't do. And it shined bright on Sunday.
Which order? So Bob goes veteran acquisition, draft, Jalen Hurts is the... But you also believe he would look at those, Bob, just to make clear. Before coming back with Jalen Hurts as the starter in 22, he'd look at those two options first.
I think so.
What about you, James?
I have veteran first because of the names that are going to be out there potentially. So I think that's going to be option one to explore. Option two, I think, is Jalen Hurts. And the only reason I say that is because I think option three would be the 2023 quarterback draft class. I don't think they are going to overdraft any of these guys this year because they need help in so many other places. I do think they could trade back and get another pick next year so that they have two and have more ammo to go get a guy then.
I was asking, though, it's perfect not to say you fell into the bear trap, but I was going to ask you. I already know that Howie Roseman will overdraft a quarterback. He did, with Jalen Hurts. Way overdrafted.
I don't know if you can say way overdrafted.
Well, I mean,
a lot of second and third round guys lead their teams to the playoffs in year one.
I got you. He's his skill set and Andrew read it yesterday. He's lived up to his pre-draft analysis.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like word for word. What we're saying about Jalen Hurts 2 years into his career is exactly what the draft experts were saying when he was drafted. So was the thing is, though, is what if you didn't have to overdraft? What if the third first round pick had one of the guys on the board? Would you take a flyer on a quarterback in the first round?
It's hard.
Not knowing. And by the way, this is your homework. Jamie is about to get, I mean, Pat and Bob and I are going to be able to just sit back and enjoy some of them.
Yeah, like
Jamie's got to get in the lab starting next week.
I think Kenny Pickett's going to get overdrafted in the top 10.
I do.
Then you're talking about Malik Willis now. Some people have his second round pick.
I wouldn't take him.
I mean, Carson Strong, people have as a late first, early second now. I don't feel comfortable taking any of those guys.
Is it because his name's Carson? And yeah. He's from that area of the country?
Matt Corral, unfortunately, got hurt, so then that's...
He's going to be fine. They said he's going to be fine.
But, like, am I going to overdraft him while he's hurt on top of it? That's tough. There's a big difference between overdrafting in the first round and the second round.
Pat, where do you fall? So, we got three different answers then.
Yeah,
we do. The three of us in this room.
Yeah.
So who do you agree with, Pat? Because you have to agree with one of us.
None
in
of
the
you.
Order.
None of you.
What do you mean?
I don't think there's another option.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, Cameron Brate. I agree with Bob. I think the order would be veteran quarterback, draft, and then Jalen Hurts.
So you went with your best friend, Bob?
No, you decided to back Bob.
And
I went with the most logical choice.
Yeah.
I think Callie Rasmus going to see this team and go, okay, well, they got to the playoffs possibly despite Jalen Hurts and his deficiencies a little bit. Imagine what they could do with a better quarterback. But a better quarterback isn't going to necessarily be a rookie quarterback. I don't think after this run, Howie Roseman's going to want to take a step backwards with a rookie quarterback.
Here's where I'm going to tell everybody now when we talk about these quarterback class and the quarterback class. And as I said, we keep teasing it. Coming up, as we approach the draft, Jamie's going to have a bunch of different little features that will sort of showcase guys that might be on the market. He'll have his mocks and things like that for us. I went and was looking at some of the guys in this year's draft. And I'm going to tell you, they have better draft profiles than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And everyone's talking about this being a bad draft class.
Well, Jalen Hurts.
I just took the wording from our lads, ESPN, I forget the other one I looked at. And I took the wording of Jalen Hurts. We're going to do it later in the week. And then I compared it to the wording for the guys that are going to be in the first round this year. They have better draft profiles than Jalen Hurts. Every one of them considered to have superior arms.
Well, Jalen Hurts was drafted to be a backup. People forget that. You know, like he was drafted to be a backup here. I don't think they thought he was going to be a starter this early into his career or if ever. Sam Howell, you know, some of these guys are definitely going to have better profiles than Jalen Hurts.
Do they think, do you believe it was a flip or flop, sort of like a HGTV reference there? You think that in the grand scheme, they thought, we got Jalen Hurts. He's a great security blanket. He'll back up Carson Wentz, and then we'll flip him. Somebody will take him off our hands? I don't know what the plan was.
Either do I. That's what's always confusing to me. And you know, we've stated this out so many times. Why you had to get a guy in the second round when you had so many other needs to be a backup, you must have had visions of him playing more than just a backup.
You had to be.
And maybe because it was Wentz got hurt all the time or whatever it was.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Yeah, but like I wouldn't have spent that high capital to get a backup, a guy that you assumed was going to be a backup and have spot starts. I think you could have done that pretty much anywhere.
How important is that job when your quarterback's guaranteed to miss time every single year and has 8 career playoff passing yards? The position becomes more valuable.
Yeah, look, Jalen Hurts might be a better NFL quarterback right now if he only had 3 or 4 starts under his belt. Does that make sense?
No.
Tell me. So if you had a starting, like if he was drafted to do what he did. No, yeah, if he was drafted to do what we all thought he was brought here for, to be a backup, and you had a decent starter, and I'm not even going to say the guy's name. If you had a decent starter who was out 4 or 5 games, if Jalen Hurts came in those 4 and 5 games and gave you something, whoa, we don't have that on tape, or we didn't see that, and he's a running guy, and he can dink and dunk, and he does a little bit of something that you just don't get used to, he might be a really nice little backup quarterback.
Sure.
But he's not a starter in this league. He's just not. I mean, it's evident.
That's actually brilliant.
I mean, because
that is actually 6'15" brilliant.
It's like basketball. Ben Simmons was out, you know, back in the day, and you had to throw in a hollow netto for a game or something. He could have you a good game because it's like the other team isn't anticipating him. Trey Thomas said it to us the other day. The guy that scared him the most was the guy that they put in at the last minute starter, and you didn't know who it was. Jalen Hurts probably, if he had a 3 or 4 game spot starts over his first 2 years, probably would have been interesting and a nice little backup. But he's not a starter.
That kind of explains, by the way, his first couple starts in the NFL.
Yes. That New Orleans game
explains his bad second halves all throughout his career.
By the way, that hard, just an off topic. Are there any hard fouls in the NBA anymore? Because Neto, why doesn't someone knock him down, knock somebody down? Watching the Sixers.
Players There's weren't no hard happy fouls. With the refereeing yesterday at all. They didn't know how to play yesterday.
Hey, the Park Sportsbook app's got a great offer for you. New customers, sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free. Visit parkscasino.com/PA. Promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania if you have a gambling problem. Please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Flyers Islanders tonight. 7 o'clock in the Fanatic. Pat, will you be back for that one?
I will be. I can't wait.
I can hear it. Woo! Hear it in your voice.
You catch the excitement.
I watched I watched the Sixers in absolute entirety yesterday and watched it. My buddy Joe came over. We had a couple adult beverages and watched it. And I've never seen so many open threes, uncontested threes. Bob, when I look at that, I say that's lazy. When I see that many open threes, this team's perimeter defense on so many nights this year has sucked.
Well, I mean, look what they're missing. They're missing two of the best perimeter defensive players in the league right now, Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle. Now you have to have guys rotating in different ways. And that's what it's all about in the NBA. When they're three-point shooting, you're talking about rotation of your defense. And, you know, you're watching a Joel Embiid having to go out and try to get a hand on an outside shooter. That's not good. Niang isn't a guy that's going to blaze you with speed running from foul line out to a three-point line to try to get a hand on somebody. You know, Andre Drummond's getting... One of the guys getting your major minutes is Charlie Brown. I mean, they took him directly off the comic strips and put him in there, and now he's playing you 25 minutes.
Like, taking Linus.
Yeah. I mean, nothing against the kid.
No, exactly.
He tries his ass off, and he's got you know, good anticipation skills defensively, but, you know, you're playing him 25 minutes. Look where you are. Just look where you are right now with all these pieces that you're missing in Danny Green and Thybulle and Shake Milton. You're picking a guy up off the street and throwing him 25 minutes.
And you wonder why I said the Greg Cloud hasn't moved yet.
Jamie, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Charlie, and again, you know, great story. Local kid, Northeast Philly,
right, exactly.
St. Joe's, love it. That's great. 25 minutes? Really? There's a storm cloud hanging over that center, and I hate it. I hate it so much that somebody is hijacking an organization and his former teammates, and I would think friends on some level, and just turning his back on them and letting them go through this because it's crap. It's total crap.
Okay, why do you believe, Pat, I want to ask you this one. Why do you believe his former teammates? Because I consider them former teammates because he's turned his back
on
them.
So do I.
Why do you think they're so silent on him? Like, why do you think that nobody has spoken up and just said, you know what? I just want to say something. This sucks. This sucks that somebody would do this to us.
They know deep down that they're a better team with him, and they still want to get him back.
And also, I like
that theory
with his mental, you know, claim.
Well, that's been
But if they come out and say something, they could turn out looking like the bad guy pretty easily.
The head of the NBA Players Association on my two different interviews totally abandoned that storyline, that talking point. So that tells me she knows that they had nothing to back that up.
Yeah,
that was false.
It makes no sense to come out and say it. Because if I'm Joel Embiid and I say, God, we need Ben Simmons, okay, I'm Tyrese Maxey, I'm the younger players on the team, your shoulders slump and you're like, oh, okay, I'm not good enough for you. Like, it's a subject that's gone away. I wouldn't breach it if I was a player. Okay. I really wouldn't. I would be like, yeah, we need more pieces. But I'm not going to say I miss Ben Simmons. I'm not going to do that to my teammates.
I was thinking more along the lines of I'm pissed at Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
I'm pissed that we are being put in this position. I want Jamie's point of view articulated by a player on this roster. And I don't know if that's a sign of surrender or excuse making, if it comes off that way.
I mean, so they got to feel it.
I know they got to feel it. They have to,
they're
right?
They're human beings. I mean, imagine if I was protesting this and just left you guys for 2-3 months. You know, there's an
energy. Coach just perked up.
Yeah, you guys might actually like that.
No,
maybe
we
this
would
is a
not.
Bad example.
We would not.
But there's an energy that's missing when the team's not together. And if I was just out still maybe collecting a paycheck,
saying,
you know, guys, I want to play on another station.
Coach, put him in escrow. Coach, would you please put him in escrow?
I would imagine you'd be pissed.
Coach, what do we do if Jamie pulls this crap?
You want to play on another station?
I heard it.
Well, the price is right. Well, you know, Coach.
You just said if the price is right.
Yeah.
Wow. Rose just right. reported 95.7 the game is interested in San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys would hate me.
And one of the...
We'd hate you.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the big problems, we haven't even mentioned his name either. What the hell happened to Tobias Harris?
Seven points yesterday. So we're watching the game, and the stat line comes up later in the game, and my buddy Joe goes, how does he have 7 points... and he's not getting to the foul line.
Yeah.
I don't know how a veteran player with his contract doesn't get to the freaking foul line. I don't know. And to me, I want to say something about one of our members of our show. Because he just doesn't get enough love. Connor Thomas is freaking amazing. Connor on our team. He is the Tyrese Maxey of this show. Tyrese Maxey, I love watching that young man play. I don't know. Now, other than Iverson, now this is not saying he's Allen Iverson. Other than Allen Iverson, I cannot remember watching a Sixer that is as fearless going down the lane, taking it to the rack as Tyrese Maxey is.
I hear you.
If I take AI out of the mix, I can't think of another Sixer that just fearlessly attacks the basket over and over again. And I got guys with much more stature, much more bulk, that refuse to go near the paint.
Yeah, not afraid of contact, and a real asset as a basketball player is when you feel the contact, still being able to get a good shot off. Iverson was great at it. Maxey's good at it. Other players, when they feel the contact, they don't finish the play.
Robert Covington was excellent at it.
Okay, Jamie, you're free to take the 3 months.
God.
What do you say, Pat? Can he leave now?
I'm so flummoxed by the comment, I have nothing to add to
it's
it.
It's a joke, guys, because he's so bad at it.
I don't think it was.
Wait, and put that on Twitter.
I have a picture of you in a Roco jersey. You're the number one Roco fan.
Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. I think Jamie may be calling them, trying to pull this power play.
He was so bad at contact.
Visit paworkinjury.com, and you can be a part of the mix. The Rams hosted the Cardinals last night. Wild card weekend's over. Divisional weekend's looking nice. We'll get to that coming up. Thanks for getting in early with us this morning. Keep streaming all day long. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, everybody. Do you miss football on Thursdays? Well, turn Thursday into payday with the NBA on TNT on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge. Win or lose, FanDuel is giving all customers $10 back every Thursday. All you have to do is bet $10 or more on a same-game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same-game parlays let you combine the money line, point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. Now, this Thursday, you got Phoenix at Dallas. Look, some good players there. You might want to look at the over-unders on their individual lines. Indiana at Golden State. How can you not look at Steph Curry and maybe look at how many three-pointers he's going to shoot in one game? I love same-game parlays on FanDuel because you can put down a small bet and win big. Plus, I can bet a player-focused parlay and root for my favorite players if I have them. And you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. Get $10 back every Thursday, win or lose, with TNT Thursdays. Sign up with promo code Bob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. That's promo code Bob on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go to Zach Berman on that Comcast Business Hotline. Zach, we appreciate it. You did your traveling yesterday. You weren't laying by the pool. You were traveling to get back to everything that's going on in Eagle Land. We've been discussing Jalen Hurts this morning, and the idea is that what is most likely for Howie Roseman? So I want to put to you, Zach, the question that we had. If you were to stack in order, your gut instinct, would Howie on his legal pad on his desk say, investigate the veteran QB market, the draft, or go again with Jalen Hurts? Your gut instinct in what order for 2022?
I think draft would be number three.
Okay.
I think I'd say veteran market would be number one, but the most likely outcome is number two, which would be Jalen Hurts be the quarterback. Just because to get one of those quarterbacks who's a definitive upgrade, it's going to take significant resources, and they're going to have to make that determination. Would they be willing to do it? And it also takes compliance from that player, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Deshaun Watson. That player is going to want to need to come to Philadelphia compared to other options. So I still think the most likely outcome is that Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback next season. That said, I think they will explore those big-name veterans that are on the market.
Zach, if one of those veteran quarterbacks that was out there decided to say, no, I'm good, I don't want to go to the Eagles, what do you think the number one reason would be for them making that choice?
Good question. I haven't thought about it in those terms. I would think
I'll take a column on it if you'd like to do something like that. That'd be great.
I would think it's because there are alternatives that are more attractive, whether it's lifestyle-wise or whether it's football-wise. If you're talking about potentially the New York Giants being a destination and a high-profile quarterback getting to play in New York, if you're looking at some of the other potential openings, whether it's Denver, I think from a football perspective, that could be pretty appealing when you look at the roster that's there. But, you know, I don't have a firm answer for that other than those quarterbacks usually have a team or a set group of teams in mind.
Zach, did it surprise you how easy it was for Todd Bowles to design a defense on Sunday to go against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles' offense and just orchestrate it throughout to the tune of 31-0 after three quarters?
Did not surprise me in the sense that I thought if you could take away the Eagles' running game and you can force Jalen Hurts to try to beat you with his arms, that the Eagles would be susceptible to that. We've seen that throughout this season. The Bucs played better run defense than they have in the back stretch of the schedule. And I think they knew what they wanted to do with Jalen Hurts. And this is going to be the key is can Jalen Hurts improve as a passer? And it's not just Jalen. It's the offense as well. And I'm not letting Nick Sirianni off the hook, although we all saw plays that were out there for Hurts to make and Hurts didn't make them. So I was not surprised to see that. But I also don't think that's emblematic of the entire season.
Zach, Jonathan Gannon's been a talking point in this town. He just got his third head coaching interview request. What grade would you give him for the year? And is more blame on the personnel or his style of defensive scheme?
I would give him B minus on the year around that. I think for the majority of games this year, it's a fair statement to make, for the majority of games this year, they were one of the better defenses in the NFL. Against these top quarterbacks, they were not that way. I don't think Sunday was a bad day for Jonathan Gannon's defense. They forced Tampa Bay to 4-3 and out. I thought in the middle of the third quarter, there was a 17-0 game, and Tampa Bay hadn't been moving the ball really for their previous five drives. And the Eagles' offense didn't take advantage of it. So I understand there's a lot of angst about Jonathan Gannon in this city. I'm not defending the way his defense plays entirely, but I think a lot of that angst is because of the scheme as opposed to the production. When you simply look at the production, keeping points off or forcing those three and outs, which they did, keeping points off the board really until the fourth quarter when they had short fields, I thought they played better than I've heard fans say during the past 24 hours.
Zach Berman joins us from The Athletic. If you have not subscribed to The Athletic, you're missing out. It is a fantastic content. Him and all his peers there. It is a great resource. I love it. It's a daily sports page for me. Zach, when I looked at the story coming out about Josh Sweat, on Sunday morning. From my years doing this for a living, that told me the Eagles have a spectacular locker room. That story never leaked out. That nobody knew about it. That it never really made it out into the press. That something like that was going on. Has Nick Sirianni really managed to get such veteran buy-in and such lockdown in that locker room that everybody's willing to be tight-lipped? Because that wasn't the way it was when Doug Peterson was there.
Fair point. I didn't think about it like that, but you are right. Now, you know, when it's with the player's health, there's certain sensitivities to it as opposed to a playing time question. But no, a big playoff game, and all we had heard last week was an abdominal issue, and clearly this goes beyond just a slight abdominal issue. I suppose it does speak to the locker room. I mean, it's probably a little kick in the butt for me. I need to be a better reporter there. But overall, no, I think you are right that it's a credit to them that this didn't get out, assuming that it's something they wanted to stay tight-lipped about.
Zach, if they do bring back Jalen Hurts and he is your starter next year, how do you change this offense to better cater to his game, and how can they do that?
You know, that's interesting because I don't know if they need to tailor the offense anymore to Jalen Hurts. They did that through the second half of the season, and you saw what happened. For Jalen Hurts to take the next step in his game, and for the Eagles to think that they can win playoff games with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, it's going to take Jalen Hurts improving. It's going to take Jalen Hurts being more efficient in the passing games, getting rid of the ball quicker, seeing the field the way he needs to see it. He has all the intangibles. We've spoken about that. He says all the right things. We know that. But the bottom line is they need to be a better passing offense if they're going to take their next step as an offense. And that's the big question with whether you keep Jalen Hurts or you try to look for an upgrade, because Jalen Hurts offers almost everything you would want in a quarterback, but you need to complete a 3rd and 8. And that's the key.
Yeah, Zach, three names I'm keeping a very close eye on here. I want to get your thoughts on all three real quick. Jason Kelce, is there any sense he's retiring? Two, is there any sense Miles Sanders is going to want to, you know, get an extension heading into his final year? And three, Brandon Brooks, is he more or less destined for the June 1st designation relief? Those three.
Sure.
What are your senses with those?
Jason Kelce, the past few years, has taken a few weeks after the season to try to kind of clear his mind on it, to have a better idea. We all know he's been considering it in the past. I thought going into this year that this would be his last year. The way they structured his contract really forced a decision from both sides. The way he played this year makes you think twice that perhaps he does come back, although I don't know if it's going to be as much performance as opposed to does he want to keep playing football. So only Jason can answer that. Going into the year, I thought the answer would be no. At the end of the year, I'm not positive. As far as the second one with Miles Sanders, I'm sure he would want a contract extension. I don't think the Eagles are going to pay Miles Sanders this offseason. It would really surprise me if they invested big money or decent money into Sanders and into the running back position at this point. And as far as Brandon Brooks, yeah, I'm operating under the assumption now that he played his final game in an Eagles uniform. Just when you look at it from a cap perspective, the fact that he really hasn't been on the field the past 2 years, I would say that will be the case.
When I ask you, Zach, if in your gut, do you believe the Eagles will really be in the mix for a Russell Wilson? As far as Russell's interest, and there would be a real mutual interest, because I've had a couple people tell me that there will not be mutual interest.
Mutual interest means from
his side, from his.
Okay,
side.
Yes, and John, you really brought it up the key there, because it will come down to where he wants to play next year, right? But if he's available and the Eagles think they can land him, then yes, I do think the Eagles would be in the mix there. They've been infatuated with Russell Wilson since 2012. And I, you know, even I'm coming off the year that the Seahawks had, I still think Russell Wilson, it's the type of acquisition like Peyton Manning back in 2013, where he changes the trajectory of your franchise just by having him on your team. So I do believe that if they can land him, they will at least look into that. But you hit the key there. He would have to want to come here as opposed to the alternatives.
So as we wrap up this, put a bow on this one, this was a much more fun year than you probably expected to write about, isn't it?
It was a more successful year than I anticipated writing about. Yeah, and I got to say, you know, I enjoyed covering Nick Sirianni, and I know a lot of people had perceptions of him based off that initial press conference, but from like a beat writer's perspective, I thought that he was enjoyable to cover. He was honest about certain things, and we'll see what happens. I covered year one of Chip Kelly. They went 10-6. I covered year one of Doug Peterson. They went seven and nine. Had some momentum down the stretch. I'm curious to see what they do going off this first year with Sirianni.
Zach, you did a fantastic job with us all year long. We love having you on.
I love coming on. I really appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.